Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, Conversation between Manu and Kadama. Text 37.
Tasmin
Sudhanvan,
Sudhanvan
Ahani,
Ahani
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan
Yat,
Yat, Yat
Samadishat,
Samadishat
Upayad,
Upayad
Ashram,
Ashram
Padam,
Padam
Nehe, Shantaha,
Pratasya,
Tat, Tasmin Sudhanvanahani, Bhagavan Yat Samadishat, Upayad Ashramaparam, Munhe Shanta Pratasya Tat, Tasmin Sudhanvan Ahani, Bhagavan Yat Samadishat, Upayad Ashramaparam, Mune Shanta Vratasya Tat,
Tasmin Sudhanvan Ahani,
Yat Samadishat,
Bhagavan Yat Samadishat,
Upayad Ashramaparam,
Upayad Ashramaparam,
Mune Shanta Vratasya Tat,
Mune Shanta Vratasya Tat,
Tasmin, on that, Sudhanvan,
Sudhanvan,
O great bowman Vidura,
great bowman Vidura,
Ahani,
Ahani,
on the day,
on the day,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
Lord,
Lord,
Yat,
Yat,
which, Samadishat,
Samadishat,
foretold,
foretold,
Upayat,
Upayat,
he reached,
he reached,
Ashramapadam,
Ashramapadam,
the holy hermitage,
the holy hermitage,
Munehe,
Munehe,
of the sage,
of the sage,
Shanta,
Shanta,
completed,
completed,
Vratasya,
Vratasya,
whose vows of austerity,
whose vows of austerity,
Tat,
Tat,
that. Translation, O Vidura, they reached the hermitage of the sage, who had just completed his vows of austerity on the very day foretold by the Lord. Text 38 and 39. Yasmin bhagavato netram yapata nashtu bhindava kripaya samparitasya prapane pitaya brisham tarvai bindu sarunama sarasvatya pariputam punyam shivam ritam jalam maharshi ganasevitam. Translation, the holy lake Bindu Sarovara, flooded by waters of the river Sarasvati, was resorted to by hosts of eminent sages. Its holy water was not only auspicious, but as sweet as nectar. It was called Bindu Sarovara because drops of tears had fallen there from the eyes of the Lord, who was overwhelmed by extreme compassion for the sage who had sought his protection. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Kadama underwent austerities to gain the causeless mercy of the Lord. And when the Lord arrived there, he was so compassionate that in pleasure he shed tears, which became Bindu Sarovara. Bindu Sarovara, therefore, is worshipped by great sages and learned scholars because, according to the philosophy of the Absolute Truth, The Lord and the tears from his eyes are not different. Just as drops of perspiration which fell from the toe of the Lord became the sacred Ganges, so teardrops from the transcendental eyes of the Lord became Bindu Sarovara. Both are transcendental entities and are worshipped by great sages and scholars. The water of Bindu Sarovara is described here as Shiva Mrita Jal. Shiva means curing. Anyone who drinks the water of Bindu Sarovara is cured of all material diseases. Similarly, anyone who takes his bath in the Ganges also is relieved of all material diseases. These claims are accepted by great scholars and authorities and are still being acted upon even in this fallen age of Kali. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yenam Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kathamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Namasreshtam Anumapi Satchiputra Matra Sarupam Rupam Tasya Grajam Puru Purim Maturim Goshtavritim Radha Kunda Giribaram Horadika Madhavasam Praptoyasya Patita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tam Natosmi. The holy lake Bindu Sarovara, flooded by the waters of the river Sarasvati, was resorted to by hosts of eminent sages. This holy water was not only auspicious, but as sweet as nectar. It was called Bindu Sarovara because drops of tears had fallen there from the eyes of the Lord, who was overwhelmed by extreme compassion for the sage who had sought his protection. In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we're hearing the beginning of a description of the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu from Priyavrata and Maharaja Uttanapad. And we're going to hear, particularly in the next section, third canto, about the appearance of Kapila Muni. And then we'll hear about the pastime, the appearance of Dhruva Maharaj in the fourth canto. And in this way we'll hear the scene is being set for answering the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya Forest, who have put questions to Suta Goswami so that we could be benefited by hearing about the appearance and the activities and the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the purpose of our material lives, is being described and explained and foretold in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we hear it in the context of very detailed descriptions and analogies and metaphor and allegory, so that we can derive a very clear image or picture, and so that we can remember smaranam. Because the goal of our life is ante narayana smriti, is to remember Narayan, to remember Krishna at the end of our lifetime. And in order to do that, we have to practice abhyasena. We can practice controlling the mind so that the mind is prepared to remember by hearing shravana. In the prayers of Queen Kunti, which we've been studying recently, Prabhupada says in, I think it's text 19, that shravanam, shinvanti gayanti, in text 19, that shravanam is the most important process of bhakti, the most important process, because unless we have shravanam, we can't have smaranam. We won't have kirtanam and we won't have smaranam. So everything is depending on hearing. And then Prabhupada qualifies the statement by saying that we should hear from qualified authorities. We should hear from those devotees who are tattvadashi, who have seen or glimpsed the truth, and who are convinced, who have solid, strong faith in the words of Krishna, in the words of Bhagavatam. And by hearing from these authorities, we become relieved from material disease. And this bhavarog, this material disease, is cured by the hearing process. Bhavoshada srota mano vidamat. This is the injunction given to us in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. The 10th canto of the Bhagavatam begins, it's going to be 90 chapters of detailed description of Krishna. Krishna Lila in Vrindavan, Krishna Lila in Mathura, Krishna Lila in Dwarkadam. And to prepare us for that, Shukadeva Goswami has this conversation dialogue between himself and Parikshit Maharaj. And there, at the beginning of many of the chapters in the first section, the Vrindavan Lila, we'll hear the importance of not just Vrindavan Lila, right through the 90 chapters, we'll hear of the importance of hearing. And what is the benefit of hearing? The Shruti Palam. What is the benefit of hearing from the Bhagavatam? The benefit of hearing from the devotees. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it says that when we hear Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam, this is a Punya Shravana, auspicious hearing, because this will cleanse the heart of the dust accumulated for so many years. And Krishna, it says in this verse, that Krishna is dwelling in the heart of the devotee. He removes the dirt. He removes the contamination. Because we're not able to fully perceive the Lord, because of so much dust on the mirror, or covering of the embryo, as it said, where the consciousness is covered like the dust of the mirror, or the smoke of the fire, or the covering of the embryo. So where there's some degree of covering that is causing it's causing an obstacle for us to perceive the Lord and to perceive our real identity as a servant of the Lord. And we are all servants of the Lord, and by hearing, we're reminded of that. By hearing this Bhagavat Katha, by hearing about Krishna, by hearing about the appearance, by hearing about the lineage of Swayambhuva Manu. And this is in the Satyayuga. And we hear about these great personalities in Treta-yuga, and great personalities in Dwapara-yuga, and great personalities in the Kali-yuga, and great activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it attracts the mind, what we hear. This is a common, a well-known psychology, especially in the material world. When the materialist wants to sell a product, we sell it by making some jingle up, some catchy tune, and some simple, easy-to-remember words. And then we'll be reminded, there'll be a trigger in our consciousness that we have to buy that product. If we want to have bright, shiny teeth, we should buy that product. If we want to be cool, we should buy this car, or this axe, or this whatever they're trying to sell, this lawnmower. And always you can see that they will advertise with very beautiful forms and beautiful music and beautiful beauty that's around it, because that's enticing, it's attracting us to get this product. With the association is that if we get the product, we'll be happy, we'll be satisfied, we'll be blissful, we'll be cool, and everyone else will think we're cool if we have these products. We were coming to the temple this morning through the city, and down Collins Street, you see all these buildings, these shop fronts, the shop fronts of these, you know, particularly the big Armani and all the big stores. They're very fancy looking. They look like they're the modern day temples, mandir,
They look so attractive and enticing. We want to go in there and we worship. We go in there and worship the statues in there. Just think how nice they look dressed up. Very attractive. And they have nice jewelry on. And they have nice, you know, alankara. And so we get attracted to that. The modern day, it's said that these modern day shopping malls, they have architectural aspects of sacred architecture. They understand that we had very beautiful buildings in the past, and we might go to Belgium or to some European city and see the cathedrals, you know, some beautiful cathedral, Christchurch or something like this. We see some beautiful cathedrals and ancient buildings, and they become heritage buildings, like our Prabhupada house is a heritage building. So we become attracted to that, and we look, and it's very attractive. So there's certain elements in this architecture that modern-day city planners have captured, because they know this is very attractive for the mind and for the soul. So they incorporate that into these spaces, open spaces that we come into, and then we look up and we see buttresses, or we look up and we see some kind of columns or something that resembles something from the original beautiful form of architecture from these temples or mosques or churches, cathedrals, basilicas that are very attractive. So they have this, they're very alluring. And Mother Yashoda, she teaches us how to do that, how to remember Krishna in a natural way, not in an artificial way. The materialists have got this science down to a very fine art, but it's for increasing sense gratification, it's for increasing bhavarag, it's for increasing our attachment for material energy and becoming more and more entangled and bewildered and confused and distanced from our real identity and the Lord. So, but the Madhya Yashoda is teaching that how to revive it, the same psychology, the same process, the same technique is to hear and to be exposed and to remember. And it says that Dadini Mantare Kale, at the time when she's churning the yogurt, when she's doing her seva for Krishna, Smaranti Tanya Gayata, she would sing, and she sang songs that she composed herself about Krishna. She sang Krishna Lila, Krishna Katha. And by singing Krishna Katha, she never forgot Krishna. And she taught the songs to the village ladies. And all the gopis would sing the songs of Mother Yashoda. This is the original Brajbas bhajans, you can say. They're singing about Krishna, how he sucked out the life air of Putana when he was on the lap of his mother, and how this beautiful witch, she came into the assembly, she came into Nanda Bhavan, into the house of Nanda Maharaj, and nobody stopped her, nobody stopped to think, who is this lady? She looked suspicious. Everybody thought she was a goddess of fortune. The Lakshmi came to offer her homage or respect to this newborn baby. So nobody touched her. And Mother Yashoda was wondering how that happened. And so she made a song about that, that Krishna survived this horrible witch demon who became Putana, who was revealed as a Putana, and how Krishna went for a ride on the shoulders of Trinavata, high into the sky, and how this little baby Krishna strangled him and brought him down to the land of Gokul, smashed onto the cobbles in the ground of the courtyard. And how Krishna revealed to Mother Yashoda the universal form in his mouth when Balaram, the cowherd boys, had told that Krishna's eating dirt. And Mother Yashoda looked into the mouth of Krishna, and she was remembering all of these pastimes, one after another, consecutively remembering them, and she would put them into beautiful poetic verses. And when she would sing them, when she's doing seva. And so we should also learn these songs, learn these bhajan, learn these verses of Bhagavatam, so that when we're doing seva, we can sing and remember Krishna. Because we might be doing something and thinking of something else. We might be doing seva for Krishna, but we might be thinking of so many other things we can think about. The office, or the studies, or the mortgage, or the children, or the wife, or the husband. We could be thinking of so many things, but we're doing seva for Krishna. But if we're doing service for Krishna, we're vacuuming and we're studying and we're making garland and we're cooking, and we're singing about Krishna, it becomes more intense seva and closer to Krishna. We become more attracted to Krishna by this process. Prabhupada says in the eighth canto of Bhagavatam that we should learn these prayers to offer to Krishna, because Gajendra, he learned of prayers in his previous birth as Indradumna. He learned the prayers, many prayers he learned. And when he was being when he was captured by the jaws of death, with the crocodile, who was dragging him deeper into the water, into the river, he was resisting by his own strength so much. But then finally he surrenders and he remembers Krishna. And he started to offer prayers to Krishna. And Krishna appears there on the back of Garuda, as Krishna appears here on the back of Garuda for Kadama Muni. And this Garuda, when Garuda appears here, he's flapping his wings and he's reciting the prayers of Samaveda. And this Garuda is the transcendental carrier of the Lord. So he has many transcendental attributes because his connected Krishna stands on him, on his shoulders. So he's completely transformed. And we become transformed when we connect, when Krishna may not stand on our shoulders, but when we connect to Krishna, our consciousness becomes transformed. And instead of our lips vibrating mundane sound vibration, they start to vibrate the transcendental sound vibration of Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's form, his beauty, his transcendental names and attributes. And that creates auspiciousness for everybody. We can remember the Nrisimhadeva prayers. Prabhupada said two things. He said Nrisimhadeva prayers and Brahma Samhita. Remember them, learn them. All the devotees should learn these prayers, the Brahma Samhita prayers. And when Prabhupada is explaining what the Brahma Samhita is in that introduction, he says that this Brahma Samhita contains all the philosophy of the Vaishnava Siddhanta. It's completely contained in the prayers of Brahma Samhita. And therefore, he said, we should recite them on a daily basis. And it wouldn't take long. To recite Brahma Samhita, we can recite in less than 10 minutes, the whole Brahma Samhita, much less. And then we should learn these Nrisimhadeva prayers. We can sing Nrisimhadeva prayers in 2 minutes. We can recite Nrisimhadeva prayers. And other prayers glorifying Lord Nrisimhadeva. And prayers glorifying Lord Nityananda. And prayers to glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the prayers to glorify Radha Ballabha. So when we come here, instead of offering prayers to the Lord and asking for a promotion and for better bank balance and for a nice wife and husband and children and promotion, instead of offering the list to Radha Ballabha, they get sick of that. They hear so many people with the list. Same list, everybody's got the same list. So they get sick and tired of that. They say, yeah, we heard the list before. We come and offer prayer to Krishna God. Instead of asking for the big, what we want from him, we come and glorify him. And when we come in front of the Lord, Devagre, when we come in front of Krishna and we offer the prayers to Krishna, then Krishna becomes, he thinks, wow, somebody standing there before me and he's not asking me for the list. Who is this guy? He doesn't want a list. Krishna will think, wow, where did he get this from? How did he learn this verse? How did he learn these prayers? How did he learn to pray like this? So a simple prayer. We come before Lord Nrisimhadeva on the altar and we can pray Namaste Narasimhaya. Or Vagisha Yasya Vadane Lakshmi Yasya Chavakshase Yasya Steridaye Sambit Tam Narasimha Maham Bhaje. Simple prayer that was in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam in the commentary of Sridhar Swami. He offered this prayer to Lord Nrisimhadeva. There are many, many prayers. We come before Lord Nityananda and offer prayer to Lord Nityananda from Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can learn many prayers. Nityananda Maham Noami. And Lord Chaitanya, so many prayers to glorify Lord Chaitanya. Namo Mahavadanyaya. Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tvishinama. offer that prayer to Lord Chaitanya, rather than ask Lord Chaitanya for good health or for long life or for promotion. Offer that prayer, that Lord Chaitanya, you're the most merciful incarnation, you're giving Krishna prema. He's giving Krishna prema and we're asking for a promotion. He's giving something way more than promotion, way more. But he says, you want Krishna prema? If you want Krishna prema, you take it. No, I want promotion. I want good bank balance. I want mortgage free. But he says, this, I can give more than mortgage free. What? You can give more than mortgage free? What is that, more than mortgage free? I never heard like that. But I can give Krishna prema. And here we Kadama Muni has performed this intense austerities for 10,000 years in Kali, in Satyuga. And in the Satyuga, it says that the process for self-realization was to meditate on Vishnu, to meditate on the Lord. Kadama Muni has perfected that, the process of Satyuga self-realization was that the Dhyayato Vishnu, to meditate on the Supreme Lord. And he appears before him. And then when the Lord comes to him, it's very beautifully said here, that out of compassion, for out of extreme compassion, when he saw the sage, this is Krishna becomes completely under the control of the devotee. When the devotees stop their list and stop their asking the Lord for material benefits and for protection and for so many things, of course we ask the Lord for protection. But when we stop negotiating with the Lord and we come before the Lord and pratiga tava govinda nami bhakta pranashati, that when we go to the Supreme Lord and we are convinced that He'll protect us anyway, that Krishna will give us everything anyway, that Krishna is supplying everything for all the living entities in the universe, then when we come there, Krishna will become he becomes indebted to the devotees. When Durvasa Muni was being chased by Sudarshan Chakra, and he went from every planet, he went through all the different planets of the universe, even to Vaikuntha, and in Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu said to Durvasa Muni, you keep running. You have got no shelter because you did Vaishnava Aparat to Maharaj Ambarish. You have no shelter in the universe. Sudarshan Chakra will catch you, will burn you, and slice you up unless you take shelter of Maharaj Ambarisha, unless you go and do Dandabat and offer forgiveness, pray for forgiveness to the devotee. You can't pray from me, you can't pray from Shiva, you can't pray from Lord Brahma, you can't pray from Indra. Nobody can give you protection. And then he said the reason why is because Krishna is very, very dear. Sadavo ridayam tvaham. Sadavo ridayam mayam. That the devotees are in the heart of Krishna. They're fixed in Krishna's heart. And Krishna is in the heart of the devotees. And managapi, naham tebyo managapi. Krishna doesn't know anybody else except for the devotees, and devotees don't know anyone else except for them. It's exclusive connections, intense relationship. And so here, the Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu, He creates a sarovara, a lake, a big body of water from His tears, out of extreme compassion when He sees Kadama Muni offering these prayers of glorification. And He knows Kadama Muni has desire. The Lord knows His desire. So He's going to give him everything that he desires. He gives him a beautiful princess, Devahuti, through whom he will have this Supreme Personality of Godhead. He understands his desire. But Kadama Muni is not telling all about his long list of desires. He's telling that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're amazing. You created this universe. You're everything. And we can leave the desires on the shelf because Krishna will see them. In the Sudama Vipra pastime, we see that when Sudama, he went to see Krishna with his bag of chip rice. And Krishna knew fully well what was happening. He's the Antarami Shakti. He's in the heart of all living entities. He knows Sudama's mind. He knows why he came to him. And he's thinking, well, Sudama, you brought something for me, but you don't give it to me. why don't you give me this gift? You brought a nice gift from your village. And Krishna had to forcefully take the gift from Sudama's pack. And he started to take that. And then Krishna said, after he took this flat rice, Krishna lives in Dwarka, he eats nice rice. Even nicer rice than our basmati. It's best rice, Krishna. So he's eating very nice prasadam there, bhoga. And then this flat rice is very coarse, hard rice. And it will give him indigestion. Rukmini is thinking, if he eats one more handful, one more grain, how could he eat this? He'll get indigestion. He's not used to eating this kind of rice. This is for the poor people. They eat this rice in the village. So Rukmini stopped Krishna from eating more. But Krishna was thinking, that was such amazing food that he ate. Such a beautiful gift. How can he repay Sudama? Because he gave such a nice thing. How could he repay him? He said, I can't give him what is in heaven, what is in Indraloka. That is not enough to give to Sudama. He gave me such a gift and I can't give him heaven. That's useless reciprocation. I can't give him a wife like Sati. I can't give him the wife like the wife of Lord Indra, because she's not beautiful enough. I can't reciprocate even with Lakshmi. He said even Lakshmi is not a good enough wife for Sudama. He gave me such a gift. And he was feeling so bad. Krishna was feeling, now he can't fulfill his promise. He can't give to his devotee anything. So he became very upset. And he said, I'll give some palace and some other things, but nothing will reciprocate with what Sudama gave him. Because there in that chapter in the Bhagavatam, it says the Sanskrit in that chapter is Pataram Pushpam Param Toyam. And then the explanation is that Bhakti Paritam, when the food is offered, it's covered with bhakti, with love and devotion for the Lord, then Krishna says, Ashnami. He will eat that. He will take it. He will receive that and he will eat that food because of bhakti. Two times in the verse. Exactly the Pataram Pushpam verse from Gita is in Bhagavatam. Two times he will take that because of two times bhakti. Because of the affection that is offered. And there it said that Krishna will even eat a flower. And I used to think that means cauliflower or something like that. But it's not cauliflower. He will eat a flower. You give a flower, Krishna will eat the flower because it has bhakti. Not like it's broccoli or something. But he'll eat because whatever you eat, even if it's banana peel, you'll eat. Because it's given with bhakti, with love and affection. And he cannot refuse to receive the offering of the devotees. But if we make a nice big opulent rajbhog, chapan bhog, and we have all the best ingredients and all rich things cooked in ghee and soaked in cream and so many exotic flavors, but there's no bhakti, Krishna will leave it alone. He won't look at it because it's made with the wrong intention. It's offered with the wrong intention. It's made, we're offering so that we can say, we offer chapan bhog to the Lord and we're very good people, we're famous people, we're pious people. But if we offer some chip rice to the Lord with affection and love and tears, Krishna will come and accept that and reciprocate. And he reciprocates with everything. The point that I wanted to make with Sudama Vipra is that Sudama got a palace. When Sudama was going back to his place from Dwarka, he was thinking, how did that happen? Krishna, he's the master of, the lord of the goddess of fortune. He's got everything. And he's so powerful. And yet he with his arms, he embraced me. And he accepted my offering. And Sudama was thinking, I'm sinful. Papa. He's the greatest sinner of all, and he's daridra. He's a poor person. I'm so poor and I'm sinful, and yet he embraced me like this. How did that happen? And when he went back to his place, he didn't recognize some things. He was thinking, I must have taken a wrong turn or something. This is not my village. I can't see my kutia. I can't see my house. And he saw a big palace. And Sudama's still skinny. Sudama. Like he's coming back with his same bones sticking out of his neck and stuff, his ribs. And he doesn't have such a backpack because Krishna took some things out of it. But he's coming back same, like he was before he left. But then everyone around was different. And his wife came out to meet him, and he doesn't know his wife. His wife doesn't look like that. So he just walked by his wife. But the wife knows Sudama. So she saw Sudama, and she went and approached him and took him into the palace. And thinking, who is this lady? Take him into whose house is this? Then he understood that this is Krishna. And Sudama's wife, when she went to bed, she wasn't looking like that either. In the nighttime, she didn't go to bed like that. She went like skinny and with old sari, with holes in her sari like this, and hole in the roof of the house. And in the morning, she had a palace, and she had a whole suite of kanchi silks. And she's thinking, where did all this come from? But she knew, and she didn't abuse. She said, Sudama is coming from Krishna. Krishna has given this because Sudama went, her husband went to see Krishna. This is all coming from Krishna. She understood. And she approached Sudama like this. And it said that Sudama, the reason why Sudama wasn't in nice clothes and wasn't strong and healthy looking, because his wife wouldn't recognize him if he came back. So one of them had to be left like this. But Krishna was thinking, when he was taking the rice, he was thinking, this is the last night that Sudama's going to look skinny like this. He's not going to look like this anymore. No more torn dhoti, no more skinny. He's going to look fine with his new, nice South Indian border dhotis. And strong, healthy too, with like this. He's going to look good. And he did. And Sudama, he said that Krishna, he fulfilled all of the desires because he got blessing of his guru. In the ashram of Sandipani Muni, when they were recollecting, when Krishna and Sudama were recollecting their early days, they were remembering that Sandipani Muni, he blessed them that they will get all of their material desires will be fulfilled. Any desire they have will get fulfilled. All desires, material and spiritual desires, fulfilled. And that the Chandamsi Yasya Vanani, that all the Vedic instructions that they heard in the ashram will remain ever fresh. Ayata Yata Yamani. They won't go stale. They won't go off. That the memory, the instructions will always be fresh. The mantra, the chanda, will always remain ever fresh and tasteful. So if we get the blessing of the Vaishnavas, the blessing of the spiritual master, then what we learn in Krishna consciousness, and we have so much to learn in Krishna consciousness, what we learn from Srila Prabhupada, what we learn from the acharyas, will remain fresh. And it won't become stale. It'll be ayatayamani. It will never go off. So this will happen when we absorb ourselves in the process of shravanam. And by hearing regularly, by hearing from acharyas, by hearing from Srila Prabhupada and the devotees, we'll remain enlivened in our bhakti, and we'll become convinced that these things are not fairy tales, they're not mythology, they're not some kind of something that is a made up imagination of these great scholars or something, but this is real factual information, content, realizations, and history. This is the history of the ancient world, we can say. And we're learning from that, the ancient histories, becoming inspired by the ancient histories. And we learn from history not to make the same mistakes, so that we can progress in our attempt to become purified and go back to Godhead, realize our identity as an eternal servant of Krishna, and go back to Godhead. Any questions or comments? Corrections.
Prabhu? Obviously, Sudama is
Why did he stop? Why did she stop? The rice. Because Sudama's he's not looking like kind of a royal person. He doesn't really fit in that environment. She's in a palace, and Krishna has 16,000 of these palaces. And in any of those palaces, she never saw anybody look like that come and give some food. So she wants to make sure that her husband gets the best food, the best offering. Everything should be according to his taste and according to her understanding of what he wants and what he requires. So she could see that this Sudama is very special, because Krishna, he came down off his bed and he offered many different lamps and verses and glorification and incense and flowers and sweets and many things. So she could understand, okay, he's a special person. He doesn't look so good, but he's a very special, important person, because Krishna's worshipping him. He's a Brahmana, and the Brahmana is worshipful. But still, this Brahmana, there's different levels of Brahmanas, and he's called a poor Brahmana. So this poor Brahmana, he doesn't have the right food that she wants Krishna to eat. So she said he can have one bit, but not too much. That's one. And another reason is that because she's feeling that Krishna will become completely indebted to this Brahmana, and Krishna will forget about her. Krishna won't come back to her because this Brahmana is too good. She didn't see anyone like this Brahmana before. In Vrindavan, there's a lake that was created by the tears of Krishna, Radha and Krishna also. Prema Sarovara, right? Prema Sarovara. And many different pastimes that happened around these places. Shri Vrindavan. Okay. Bindu Sarovara. This is from the verse today. Bindu Sarovara is a place. It's a place where Kadama Muni was performing his tapasya, and the beautiful story is that the lake is created by the Lord's tears from the back of Garuda. He created a lake because of his compassion, because of his affection for this devotee who's offering such beautiful prayers, and therefore he creates this lake.
Where it is?
It's in it's on the bank of the river Sarasvati, which doesn't flow, so I guess it's in the north. You want to go there? You can find out. Maybe you can't find out from some travel agent, but I mean, maybe from Krishna Katapu and Bhagavad Gita, they can tell you, but not from their suppliers. It must be there. You can do some research. Bindu Sarovara. The next verse will say more about that. You come tomorrow. Maybe we'll come. Yes, ma'am. Yes. I think one of the things about hearing is to improve our hearing, we should become focused on what we're doing. And we shouldn't always be hearing when we're doing something else. But, I mean, it doesn't say we won't hear when we're doing something else, but it's multitasking. So Mother Yashoda, she was working and serving Krishna directly, and she was singing and remembering. So we we're encouraged to do when we're doing seva, to hear, and then that will become more kind of it will become a deeper realization eventually by this, because everything is connected with the service to Krishna. But if we're doing other things and hearing it, trying to hear at the same time, like doing some, you know, some job that's requiring a lot of other mental engagement, cognitive engagement, then the hearing won't be as effective. So to give ourselves opportunity to hear in an undisturbed atmosphere, somewhere where we can have some peace and quiet and meditation. And hearing isn't just physically hearing sound vibration, but reading is hearing, and recitation, when we hear someone reciting, reading. Actually, when in the process of knowledge, it says shravanam. Shravanam is not just a vibration, but it's any information or knowledge that we get through the senses is a form of shravanam. Shravanam. So increase our hearing by, you know, physically arranging a situation where we can be focused, and to hear with devotees, to hear in the association of devotees is very powerful form of hearing. It's called the satam prasangam mama vidya sambhiro bhavanti hritkana rasayana katha. The rasayana katha, the medicine of this katha, will cleanse, will purify the heart in a powerful way in the association of devotees. Satam prasanga, when there's a lot of people hearing, that hearing becomes very potent, powerful hearing, because then we can discuss, and then we can ask questions, and we can remind each other, I forgot that point, what was that point, and we can place it all together, and then we can build on that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we shouldn't hear just to, in this, we shouldn't read these spiritual books, we shouldn't read the scriptures just to, he said, just to, what did he said, very poetically, to capture the words and to, like, imprison the words of the scriptures. But we should read them to liberate them, so that we read the words and we expand upon them. And by expanding upon them, we're sharing them with others. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's recommendation is that we hear to expand. We hear and to share with others what we hear. And Gaga Muni Prabhu in Vrindavan was saying we should, when we read, it's very good to read out loud, so that we're reading and hearing. So we're hearing the vibration of the words at the same time. So reading, being focused, hearing in association with the devotees is powerful. And to hear with the intent to recite, to share with someone else, something that can help. Prabhuji. I think you can say that Kadama Muni is an elevated soul, an extraordinary personality, and he's praying for a good wife, I guess, and many great devotees pray for a son like Krishna. Devaki and Vasudev prayed for a son like Krishna. And they got a son like, they got Krishna, because there can't be a son like Krishna. No one can be like Krishna, so they got Krishna as their son. So how do we understand that he's praying for this? It's not a mature desire. If you read his prayers when Garuda comes, we'll get some insight, because there's a series of prayers, and it's not like 20 prayers, give me a wife, give me a wife. There'll be many the realizations that go with that. And then the Supreme Lord said, having come to know what is in your mind, I've arranged for that for which you have worshipped me through mental and sensory discipline. So he talks about the Lord's creation, the universe, the three universes, the secondary, primary and secondary creation. Persons who have given up stereotype worldly affairs and the beastly followers of those affairs, who have taken shelter of the umbrella of your lotus feet by drinking the intoxicating nectar of your qualities and activities in discussions with one another, can be freed from the primary necessities of the material body. He's indicating that the Lord is completely transcendental, but he's going to approach the Lord. Akama savakama va moksha kama udara. He's going to approach the Lord with his desire, but he has a full understanding that his desires will be fulfilled, because the Lord understands that this person is in knowledge. He's not coming with so much material baggage. He has material desire, but he understands fully that Krishna, O my Lord, you are the master and the leader of all living entities. Under your direction, all conditioned souls, as if bound by a rope, are constantly engaged in satisfying their desires. Following them, O embodiment of religion, I also bear oblations for you, who are eternal time. So he's revealing in his prayers that he understands fully the position of Krishna and how Krishna is the maintainer of everybody. And therefore he's approaching Krishna for this seemingly material desire, but he gets Devahuti as his wife, who is transcendental and becomes a liberated soul. So how we understand Kadama Muni, it's understood by the verse from the second canto of Bhagavatam, that no matter what our desires are, if we want health, if we want longevity, if we want strength, if we want all sorts of potencies, then still we come to Krishna and we put those in front of Krishna. But they won't become the main thing. Like Sanatan Goswami, like Dhruva Maharaj was praying for this kingdom greater than his grandfather, but he had the darshan of Lord Vishnu and he felt ashamed. He felt like that was the wrong thing to pray for. And everybody who sees the result of their meditation understands that Krishna supersedes anything in the material creation. So whatever our desires are, we take them to Krishna. But don't continue to bring a long list of material desires to Krishna without any glorification, without any realization, without any service, without any sadhana. Then it will become a negotiation only. But Prabhupada says in the teachings of Queen Kunti, that the Muslims and the Christians who go to pray in the church, they're also Vaishnavas. I bet you never heard Prabhupada say that. But the Muslims are Vaishnavas. They're low-level Vaishnavas. He said because they're praying, they're Vaishnavas. So any prayer will eventually, Prabhupada said, it's a step, will eventually get us there, the prayer. But the prayers of the devotees become more and more realized through practice, through bhakti, through knowledge, and through mercy. Then they become a glorification. And the ultimate prayer is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Okay, I think we'll stop here. Grantaraja Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi.